Hello, guys, and welcome back to the Perpetual Podcast. This is episode 6, 7, 6, I think. Your host today, James Rankin, and I'm joined by the lovely
Kira McNulty.
otherwise known as the fake vegan.
That's right.
I didn't know your full name for I don't know how long.
I don't think a lot of people in the gym knew my name when I first started working
Kira,
here.
The fake vegan. That's how I knew.
Yeah, or just the fake vegan. Not even Kira. That took a while.
So, Kira, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? What do you do?
Okay, yeah, my name is Kira. I am actually a ride instructor here at Perpetua. Almost coming up to my first year here, which went so fast. I didn't realize it's been a year since I started working here. So that is one part of my life. I'm also a full-time student at the moment. I am in my last week of my master's, which is super. Yeah, so I'm studying clinical nutrition and dietetics. I'm on my last week of placement, and then I'm finished my two-year master's, and I will be a professional. This is my last week. Yeah, super exciting.
A professional what?
A professional dietitian. Yeah, clinical nutritionist coming up.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Cool. So let's start there. Nutrition. Let's dive in. Did the interest in that start?
Yeah. Okay. So interest in nutrition. Actually not. So I feel like a lot of people that go into nutrition are like, I grew up loving to cook and being interested from the day I was born. Definitely not my story. So yeah, it's more recent, like definitely towards the later end of my undergrad, so like third or fourth year of college. So
what did you study for your undergrad?
I studied biomedical science.
Wow.
Yeah, so I always wanted to be a doctor. That was the thing. I've always loved science. I've been a nerd my whole life. Yeah. No, it's okay. I own it. I love it. I love science. I love studying. Yeah, so I always wanted to go down the field of medicine. But obviously, in Ireland, you have to do a lot of extra exams that are not sort of studyable. So they're like the HPAT and the GAMSAT, whatever. So I got into biomedical science for your undergrad with the view of going into medicine, but I didn't want to do that other exam. It's just, I was just like, I need to find another way. I was like, I can do something. And then it was towards like final year of my undergrad that I just like organically got into like health and fitness. Like I was in college using the gym. And then one day my mom was just like, you like food and you like medicine. Have you ever heard of dietetics? And then I just kind of looked it up, applied, and that's where it started. Yeah. So I wasn't even like a food fanatic at that stage. I was kind of just starting, but it was more so the combination of food and science that brought me to where I am today.
That's interesting, because I would have put you down as, just based on the very little I do know about you, it's like I look at your Instagrams and there's all the food and there's the science side behind it. But I definitely would have thought that you were like, I've always cooked, therefore.
Yeah.
This path. So that's interesting that you went from the nerd side of
the nerd. The nerd is still in there. The nerd is so in there. But I guess that doesn't come across as much on Instagram, because what I'm trying to do is communicate to people that aren't nerds. So I'm trying to transfer that information into something that's interesting and pretty food to get the picture out there.
Kind of sometimes make me want to go vegan, but not
that's okay. I'll take that.
What you
coming
do,
from you
like chicken and
yeah
steak
add it on yeah, yeah, yeah. No, love that. You like your vegetables anyway.
I love my vegetables. Everyone should eat more vegetables, shouldn't they?
Yeah. And that is the end of the podcast.
Yeah. Thank you for coming to our TED talk.
Eat your veg.
Yes, I do. So
I think I didn't answer your question, did I?
What? Which one?
How did you get into nutrition? I guess that was
kind
of it.
Yeah, that was kind of it, wasn't it? Your mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your mom's
you
idea.
Like food, Kira.
Yeah, do a degree in it. So what's the end goal with the degree?
Yeah. So there is like no end to dietetics. I have, it is the biggest field. I didn't know that going into it, but it's also amazing for me because I have a lot of interests, and I think throughout my career I'll be able to work in all of them. So at the moment I'm on hospital placement. So that is the mainstream role of a dietitian, especially in Ireland. Like you really do graduate and end up working in clinical nutrition in a hospital. So a lot of what we do there is patients that are unwell. They need to be fed if they have difficulty swallowing, if their intestine doesn't work and they need special food because they can't break down a normal sort of complex food. They need, some people can't chew or they have a tumor where they can't swallow. So we have to feed them through a tube and we have to work out what they need and how we can give it to them. Or someone that has Crohn's disease or colitis needs to modify the food that they get. Or that's the role of hospital dietetics. Wow. And it really is about optimizing the nutrition of people that can't really do it themselves. And a lot of education. So if someone goes under gastro surgery, they're gonna have a huge wound when they go home. Yeah. And just like anyone that has an injury, their requirements shoot up and we need to tell them how they can eat more protein and how they can eat better going home to make sure that those wounds heal
properly.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's one side of things. Yeah. And then obviously sports and nutrition, sports and exercise nutrition. That's my real passion. It's not something I do in college. So I've actually applied to do a course in that to upskill in that area. So nice. Yeah, skills. So that is really the end goal for me, I think. But I'm going to find kind of other things. Yeah. I'd love to work with like a sports team or work individually with athletes or someone that's competing in a weight orientated sport, making weight and like adjusting all that or working with the team. Or there's just so many things so you many can options. Do. Yeah, it's not just about the food.
I love it. Cool. I'm going to pick on something you kind of said there. A couple of things. So you were talking specifically about what you're dealing with at the minute in the hospital and like what do those people need. But like, let's kind of bring it back and make it specific to the people we see here in the gym.
Yeah.
What do we need, you and I? What do we need more of, less of? What are we under, over, eating?
Yeah. How can the general population optimize their health?
Bingo.
It's honestly so easy and we all know what we need. That's what I keep thinking. It's easy in terms of the food pyramid is there for a reason and it serves such a purpose in showing you basically the priority of needs for someone in terms of diet. It's not easy. People don't always understand it or don't have a good education on food, and that's kind of where professionals come in to help, or coaches and things like that. So fruit and veg, it's the bottom of the food pyramid. It has all the micronutrients you need, and it helps with like if you're trying to portion control or if you're just not trying to overdo things. It's full of fiber and it helps you sort of control what you're eating, and it's full of all the good micronutrients. You need carbohydrates. It's the most essential form of fuel for the body, for men and women. No matter how many people tell you to go keto, your body needs carbohydrates.
Say that again for the people in the back.
Yeah, I am whispering.
What?
Oh, sorry. You need carbohydrates, and you can get that from bread, oats, pasta, potatoes. Potatoes. All I love potatoes. Yeah. I don't care who's telling you to go keto. Your brain actually only uses sugar for fuel. Yeah. And it's not going to get that from an avocado. So please, please eat your carbohydrate.
Have your avocado, but have it on your toast.
On a sourdough from Bread 41.
That's the second time we've plugged Bread 41. We must tag them in this.
We must. Yeah. This gym is fueled by Bread 41.
True.
Protein for muscle building, obviously, but I also don't think you need as much as you think you need.
There's more science coming out about that, isn't
there? Yeah, it's always... It's the topic of sports and exercise nutrition. Obviously, I think some people... like think they're eating more, they find it hard to eat enough. And then the other spectrum is someone that is only eating chicken breasts and protein shakes. So it's like, where's the balance there? Fats are essential for everything, especially hormone health. And then you also need to enjoy your food and have chocolate probably once a day. So that's where
I don't condone that to my clients.
Just like a bite. You need to enjoy life. That's the problem. It is the portions, but like it serves a purpose. So if I'm talking about what the general population need, we don't need over restriction. We do need to enjoy food. And I think chocolate for me is very important to do that.
Over restriction is not health.
No, it's not. And that is something I'm really trying to spread awareness on.
I love that.
Yeah.
Staying kind of with that topic a little bit, yeah. Something you've posted about recently is low energy availability.
Yes.
What is that?
Low energy availability and relative energy deficiency in sport. So these are two things that are quite topical in sports and exercise nutrition at the moment. Limited research in terms of this research is only really being done in elite athletes just because that's where the funding comes from. Yeah. And that's why relative energy deficiency in sport is titled that. Yeah. Like it's called in sport, but it is applicable to your everyday person, someone that is physically active. And it's really something that I've become interested in because it's something that I've definitely experienced. And I know so many people that have experienced it as well and didn't know what was going on. Yeah. And it took me years to figure out what was going on. And then I'm trying to figure out more so that I can kind of spread the awareness. But basically what it is that you are experiencing a relative energy deficiency, which means you're not getting in enough in terms of how much you're expending, but that doesn't just include exercise. It includes all bodily functions. So that's your hormone system, your endocrine system, your neuro system, like everything in your body needs fuel, and you're not giving yourself enough fuel for all of those functions to work properly. So your body starts to shut down. It goes on energy saving mode. So you're still able to exercise, but you're not able to produce normal hormones because your body, it prioritizes movement and it prioritizes you being able to run away from a bear 100,000 years ago. And that's still the way our bodies work. So it's a balance between what you're getting in and what you're expending. But the way your body reacts is shuts down non-prioritized functions.
So what would be an example of that?
So in women and men, actually, it's the number one kind of easy sign is your hormonal system. So you might notice changes in your menstrual cycle or changes in libido, and that's showing that you're decreasing your hormone production because your body is shutting that down. It's also in terms of another one is bone mineral density. Mm-hmm. So it's keeping healthy bones because they're very much interlinked with your hormonal system. So you might find that you're getting stress fractures or you're getting osteopenia. And that's something that you might see in athletes or in people that are just exercising. They're getting stress fractures more frequently. Your immune system, so you might get a cold way more frequently than other people, or you just feel run down all the time, no matter how much you're drinking lemon and honey or whatever. Healthy, yeah.
But I work out all the time.
Exactly. My immune system should be amazing. It's like, well, you're actually not fueling that part of your body, so it's not being able to function properly. You could be irritable, really low mood. Okay, there's probably other reasons for that. yeah, there's a lot of parts of your body that are affected by it.
I think that's cool because I've probably, whenever I've tried to compete in CrossFit, I've definitely noticed that as I'm peaking, if I'm working, typically, I don't know how it always works out this way, but the more I try and push my training,
yeah,
competition side, I also inevitably end up trying to push my business and my work as well.
Yeah.
So I'm literally like lighting the candle at both ends, yeah, here, and I always notice then that irritability is probably a big one. Maybe I don't notice that as much, but other people would notice it. Mm-hmm. But libido is definitely a big one.
Yeah.
I think that's huge. Mm-hmm. And it's something I've kind of, I suppose if I do it now and I say it out loud, I'll have to do it. But it'll be asking my clients more.
Yeah.
Like,
I think that is huge. That?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That and then periods as well. People need to talk about periods. Yeah.
I think so. And I think like there's a lot of male coaches and I think it's shied away from,
yeah,
firstly, but it's, I also scary, think it is scary. It's scary for girls as well. Like some clients wouldn't be comfortable because they're not used to it. It's not normalized yet. And also people don't see it as an issue. Like they're like, oh my God, this is amazing. I haven't had my period in a year. My life is so easy. And then unless you're kind of tuned in with yourself and you're like, wait, why don't I have it? Or, yeah, so that's one side of things. And then also with someone with a normal period, like, their training needs to kind of be, controlled around it as well, which I think if they have a coach would help so much. Mm-hmm. Like if you're pushing your client on like the day before her period to freaking lift heavier, run faster, and she's like, F you, not today. And you don't understand that that's because she has hormonal differences that you don't really know what's going on. I think it would change training for a lot of women.
And nutrition comes into that too, doesn't it? Like you can handle carbs better and and at different points of the cycle, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's something I don't completely understand it either. Yeah. I think it's one of those things that science is coming out, but coming up to your period, you just need more and you need more carbohydrates is kind of what it is. And then after your period, there's that kind of 14-day window where you're going to probably perform better, have more energy. You won't be as hungry and you won't need as much. That's kind of the extent that I know of it. I'm sure there's people that know more. But yeah, it definitely changes your energy, changes your ability to perform, changes, and your requirements change as well.
So whenever you're coming up to your period and you're craving carbs, you should have them.
It's for a good reason. Like, your body talks to you. Yeah, weird. Science, bro. It's real. Yeah.
Cool. Let's get a bit more personal. So we've talked about the science stuff.
Open up, yeah.
So let's, how do you find, because we've kind of had conversations around this before, how do you find the whole, so say the gym's opening on Tuesday again, right?
Woo.
You've worked at front of house here.
Yeah.
You've worked as a ride coach and you're a full-time student.
Yeah.
And you constantly put out good content on social media to educate the
masses. Thank you.
How do you, because I struggle with this. Like if I'm busy, my Instagram is like tumbleweed.
Yeah.
And if I'm not busy, it's the same. I kind of need a balance of all that. And I struggle. Working in a gym, I struggle to coach and train.
Mm-hmm.
To a high level consistently on both. So how do you personally balance like college, working, unsociable working at that as well?
Yeah.
And
social life.
And the fact that you're in your early 20s and you socialize and like to have wine and
Friday nights. Balance is a process for me, 100%. And it's a process. It's ongoing. And my balance changes daily to weekly. And it's something that I am trying to tune in more with myself to see what I want to achieve this week, what I want, how I want to feel this week, what I want to get done this week. And like, say this week is my last week of placement. My priorities are going to switch. I have paperwork to get done. I'm exhausted and I just don't want to exercise and I don't want to post on Instagram. So my balance is trying to accept the fact that I don't need to come to the gym as much as much as I normally do. I don't need to put out content this week. I don't need to see my friends because we're in lockdown, but that's changing this week. And yeah, like say for instance, 3 weeks ago, I would have been at the gym every week. I was feeling good and I was probably posting as well because I didn't have so much going on in college. So balance is something I find really difficult and I'm trying to just look at prioritizing week to week.
Yes.
It's the only way to do it. It's like trying to say, okay, I have a huge deadline this Friday. If I'm going to put that off just because I feel like I need to go to the gym and I end up not getting anything done, I'm going to feel like SHIT. And I'm going to feel so bad because I didn't get my priorities done because I thought that my priority was going to the gym where it's not. So you just need to really hone in and ask yourself those questions.
And understand that one missed day or one week of...
Do you know what? Not even one day.
Yeah, I got a text yesterday from one of my clients and she's going to know who I'm talking about because I actually just sent a bunch of laughing emojis back at her. She was stressing because she texted me saying, training this week has been up the walls. It hasn't gone to plan. Can't wait to get back next week and get back at it. And I texted her and I was like, listen, you look great. You feel great. Like work's going well. Life's going well. It's okay if you miss a week of training. And she texts me back saying, oh, I've not missed training. I just haven't trained as much. So she was doing, like, maybe she was getting programming from me for some accessory work, and she was doing the live classes.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And there was days where she was just getting the accessory or just the live class.
Yeah.
So she still trained, like, 5 days. Yeah. Out of five. And I was like,
It's okay. We're so in, like, it's ingrained in us.
More. You posted yesterday?
One of the days is a blur. Why does everyone feel like that's what we need to do? Mm-hmm. I'm so guilty of it as well. I'm sure you are too.
I'm getting really good at not being guilty about it.
I've gotten really good too. In like the past 2 weeks, I've really tried to be like, where is that coming from? It's coming from social media. 100%. And why are we putting the pressure on ourselves? It's not as if I have someone telling me I need to do anything. It's all internal. Mm-hmm. And it feels really good when you understand comparison, that it doesn't need to happen. Yeah. Comparison.
Thief of joy. Yeah, I've kind of found recently, we kind of spoke about this whenever we were having our coffee there, like seeing other people train and other coaches. And I need to do that. And I was like,
do I?
Nah. Like, I've put on, in 6 weeks, I think I've put on about 1 kilogram.
Okay.
But I've trained on average in 6 weeks, 3 times a week.
And how do you feel?
Physically good, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure you do.
I don't look, I'm a little bit fluffier, but I.
And that's with your own eyes, I'm sure. Not one person would see a difference.
Exactly.
And your body feels better. Yeah. And you're probably. Let me just guess all the things that you're feeling. I just want to know if I'm right. Like, I don't know if you're feeling like less anxious and just more energized, happier.
Yeah.
Libido. I don't know. We don't need to get into that. But there's so many things.
That's for this podcast.
No. But you can just have a think about that yourself.
Yeah. It's huge, though. It's definitely something that I've struggled with. And over the past, I say 6 weeks, but maybe since the last lockdown, like, because I got really busy with work and that, where I just kind of went, like, training's not the, I can maintain and get away with doing this. Like, why would I do 6 sessions a week if I can look the same, feel the same, and have more time by only doing 3 sessions a week?
Mind blown. I know.
When I wrote this down in my journal the other day. I was like, I only need to do this. And I've started, I'm actually just thinking now, if I apply that to everything, so with my work and with my ambitions and with my, because there's times last night, this morning, I didn't get out of bed until.
What day is it?
Didn't get out of bed till 8 o'clock. I was watching the rugby and I was like, oh, I wonder, will I get any work done today? Like, can I start? I'm trying to do some PDFs. I want to film some content. I want to do this podcast. I'm like, where am I going to squeeze it all in? I'm like, let's just do the one thing today.
I think we're separated at birth. Just from hearing that, I used to be the same. I would get up like this. Sorry, this is about 4 weeks ago. I've changed. I've changed in the last week. I used to get up, try to do like 2 hours of college work, go to the gym, meet someone for coffee, make Instagram content by like 4 p.m. And it's just been since opening up about that mindset to other like-minded friends or people in the gym. And they're like, why though? Why do you feel like you need to do that and to just be go, go, go? And sorry, it's been 2 weeks, but I've given myself the morning and my mood has changed. I'm getting the same amount of stuff done and I'm not like literally up here like anxiety. I'm not going to call it anxiety. I don't have anxiety, but I just feel
there's that
better
anxiety about I have to do the thing.
But why does it have to be like before 12 p.m.? Do you agree? It's huge. Wild. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people listening also have the same mindset. It's like you wake up and this is your weekend. This is the time you're allowed to relax. And this is the time you want to push yourself to do more and more and more. because you have this checklist to get done. But we all have the same amount of hours in the day, and it's going to get done.
It is.
And you need to prioritize, and that's where the balance happens.
You have to prioritize that downtime as well. And
yeah, it's so forgotten about. Yeah, if you can, guilty.
Yeah, if you can get shit done in 4 hours, I think that's actually the first curse word in this podcast. I did it. But if you can do something in 4 hours, or if you can do something in 4 hours, why take 8 hours to do it? Like, why? Or why get up at stupid o'clock in the morning to this whole 5 a.m. club is like this idolizing Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and like comparing, like, I wouldn't want to be Elon Musk.
Good.
I can imagine that, like, he is horrible to be around when he's not at work.
Yeah.
That's all he cares about.
And I feel like people in that mindset with their friends or with their family are so in their own head and so checking off the things they need to do. They're not listening to the people around them. They're not fun to be around. And they're not just like present. And it can happen to all of us. But once you realize that you can do something to change it, like really small things to change it, change your life.
I heard a good one on a podcast the other day and they referred to it as hustle porn.
Oh my God, I love that.
It's like looking up to the Bezoses and those type of people. And it's like, 500 billion or whatever it is he has in the bank. But like, what does he do?
What is Saturday? What work?
Yeah,
yeah. It is really idealizing the more mentality, and you don't need to be Bezos to be that person. No. I think society is making that person in everyone. Yeah. Like, I don't know one person that isn't like feeling anxious about doing less, especially during lockdown. Like, I think that's really come out in a lot of people, and people are finding it hard to accept the fact that they're being allowed to slow down, even though during non-lockdown times we are all allowed to slow down. But it's scary.
It is,
and that's something else I talked about on Instagram. Just how many times have you heard someone say, I don't like doing yoga, I don't like doing Pilates, it's boring, my meditation is like CrossFit and running, because like I don't like listening to my own thoughts. Yeah, and like I want to physically run away from them in the CrossFit room. And it's kind of just like, why don't you like slowing down? It's probably because those thoughts are going. It's like, I should be sweating, I should be doing something else, I should be doing work right now. But when you're in such like a high intensity exercise, you're actually blocking those thoughts, and people are thinking that that's their meditation because they're forgetting. But actually being conscious of them and working through them is way more meditative.
100%.
It really,
and that's gonna bring about better levels of health and self-esteem and all that sort of
productivity
stuff.
Even all which is the goal, and like it's our mindset that's like a affecting us from getting there. Like, we're actually stopping ourselves from reaching the goals by doing the things that we think we need to be doing to get there.
It's like being on that hamster wheel,
isn't it? Oh my God, a vicious circle. Horrendous. Of society.
Wow, mind blown.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah,
I really like that.
That was great.
Great job. Yay. Kira, where can the people find you?
So Instagram, at the fake vegan underscore.
Where did that come from?
Oh my God, where did that come from? Actually, yeah. So when I kind of started the food interest and changing my diet and wellness, I've always had the mentality of just incorporate more better things rather than black and white restricting, blah, blah, blah. So I really liked the whole plant-based diet lifestyle, but I was never convinced that I needed to be vegan. Like, I liked the idea of incorporating more plants, more vegetables, more soy products. But I still need my Ben and Jerry's. So there comes the fake vegan. I do a lot of like things in line with the plant-based lifestyle, but I also do a lot of other things that aren't in line with that. And it's just kind of stayed. Yeah. Yeah. And someone took the one without the underscore. So that's where that came from. I'm trying to like hunt her down.
Wow. By the URL
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you that, for was great. On. Yeah, of course. Great.
30 minutes on the button. Guys, as always, if you did find this helpful, please like, share, tell a friend, and just watch our next one.
Yeah. We'll see you back in the gym soon.
Yeah, and we'll see you. Yeah, well, the gym will be open by the time this comes out.
Yippee.
So, yeah, the last lockdown podcast.
Yay.
Guys, thanks again.
Thank Bye-bye. You.